Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley. What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. JP Finley here. This is a big show. I'm in studio, which I haven't been. I don't think I've been in Bethesda in the office in a month.
We haven't recorded in here in forever.
I don't think we've recorded in here since before training camp, honestly.
Feels good to be home.
Yeah. So Mitch is here. Pete is here, obviously. We are brought to you by the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia, obviously. We got a lot going on, though. Brian Mitchell is sitting in with us.
He's not sitting in.
He's standing in.
Standing in. Yeah,
he refuses to sit down for whatever reason.
Yeah.
How are you, dude?
I'm fine. How you doing?
And as is tradition, we got John Keim on the phone.
JK.
Because he didn't want to drive to Bethesda, understandably. How are you, Keim?
I'm doing all right. In honor of our last couple weeks, I'm going to sit in the passenger seat of my car. I feel like I'm in Mitch's car.
Why are you driving?
How long would it take Keim to get from Bethesda to his home? Like 3 days?
He'd have to sleep. He'd have to stop and sleep.
By buggy?
I think there's one nonstop flight out of BWI to Keim's hometown, to Orange County, Virginia. Did I even get the county right?
No, Clark.
Clark.
But you could land a plane probably right near us. So.
Well, you got to make sure the chickens are out of the way.
I was going to say the cows wouldn't appreciate that.
If you hit the cow, the good thing is you get brisket that night.
Yeah, but you better hit the cow patty.
Dude, we might slide
off the runway.
Everybody's already excited about Pecan Lodge in Dallas. Best burnt ends in the world. I'm fired up for that. We will be there, John. All right. Any conversation about this football team has to start with the injuries. The dominant storyline all week. The offensive line is a mess. We're going to get to that next. But let's start. Jay Gruden ruled Chris Thompson out. Speak now if anybody's surprised.
Nope, not surprised.
No.
Yeah. Serious question about Thompson. At what point is IR enter into the conversation? You're talking about a cartilage issue in your ribs. That's major pain for a guy that gets hit.
Major pain, but it gets to the point if he can handle the pain, then he's a playmaker. And when you're looking at a team that lacks many playmakers, you wait as long as you have to wait for him.
Yeah.
Agree 1,000% on that.
Yeah,
he's the guy this offense is missing right now. And that's something against Capri Bibbs, but Thompson is different.
We talked about this on the sideline, Keim, that Capri Bibbs has played well, but he's still not Chris Thompson.
Nope.
Right.
All right, I think but it's getting funky with the IR guys because – the clock already started on Byron Marshall. Now you got Trey Quinn's clock starting.
Yeah.
And all these guys are skill position guys, and they've got these glaring needs at offensive line that I don't know where roster spots are going to come from for a lot of these guys.
They filled the O-line spots with the guys they just signed off the street.
Right, but you don't think there could
be
some churn there?
Do they keep all three of those guys, though?
I think there might be churn, but if there's churn, I think those off-the-street guys go.
Well, the hard part, too, is this is what happened last year. They started running out of areas where they can trim. And what you hope, for their sake, that you can't do is lose a guy like Jehu Chesson. I mean, that guy's been really good on special teams. Yep. And he's like, those are like little details when you're trying to overcome what they have. You have to do it with a lot of detailed type guys. And his ability to help as a gunner
absolutely
on special teams is really good. And you'd hate to lose a guy like that because of all these injuries, but that's you know, that's the stuff that kind of it starts to come down to.
And Pete wrote a good story about life as a gunner. I thought that was cool. Yeah. I don't know if everybody checked that out, but you should.
Thank you.
And I also think we were talking about this today, Kime, that I think you have to keep J.U. Chesson over if it comes down to Brian Quick or Michael Floyd.
Yeah.
Because I just unless those guys.
Let me say this on Michael Floyd. He's a son of a bitch when he blocks. I don't think I give that up. Because when you watch him in the run game, he does help. So whether he's helping catching the ball, he at least is helping you from scrimmage. So I think Brian Quick would probably be the one to go because right. He's the guy who's been inactive and isn't. You know, I think he can help you if others go down. But right now he's not doing as much. And if you have Quinn, if you have Crowder, it lessens the need for Quick.
You know where you have some fat to trim? Freaking Casey Dunn.
Yeah.
Why is that guy on the roster?
See,
why the hell do you have him on the roster if you can't trust him?
Mitch, thank you. Because, John, I'm all y'all. When you see this team, when they went through all of this stuff, all the trouble they had last year on offensive line, and when they picked the team, they talked about how they had so much depth, and this time they like all their players. And the first time you get injuries on O-line, they have to go outside the organization to get some more people. What sense does that make?
Zero.
Yeah, I know, like, with Casey Dunn, and this goes back to the summertime when they kept him. The fear was if you expose him to practice squad, the waivers and all that, that they would lose him. But you would think that after this much time that he does know the system.
You would think at some point.
Hell, yeah, you would think. I mean, it's week 10.
Better. Yeah, I mean, I know they want experienced guys, but it's still, like, it's some, like, Sprinkle last year was kept for kind of the same reason. What they didn't feel like he was quite ready, but you had to. But when there was a need, he had to play.
Yeah.
At some point, they realized that Casey Dunn could not start. And the fact that you don't have somebody, at least on the practice squad, that you could bring in, that you could call up or sign to start in that situation is a huge mistake of roster construction.
Yeah, to think, yeah, we can't expose him.
Especially when you know Sean LaValle's going to get hurt.
That has been a problem with the way that they construct this team over the last 5 years for sure, where they, he's going to be something good. I like him. They keep him and let go of somebody that they may not like that's a better player. And because you should not, listen, if you construct your team properly, when you have injuries, you should be able to plug somebody in, and they may not be at the same level as the starter, but they know the whole offense.
Well, here's the problem, B-Miss, and I agree with that. The problem is they didn't have anybody else when they released at the end of the summer who was better than Casey Dunn.
Wow.
He was the guy.
They wanted Catalina or Kalis to be the guy, and neither of them took it.
Yeah, those
Catalina
awesome.
Got
those
hurt. Awesome. Kalis is on the Browns practice squad.
Right, so the plan, it goes back to either the lack of planning in the offseason or the lack of development of those two, because they didn't cut anybody who was good. They cut guys who were still on practice squad or now Kelly's out.
But why don't you have a problem. If that's the case, why don't you have Luke Bawonko or John Cooper on the practice squad? At least so they're in the, building.
Those guys are out of the practice squad.
Yeah,
Bawonko?
Yeah.
Is he?
I don't think he had that eligibility.
All right,
but
Why wouldn't they sign to be a backup then if they're sitting out there when you have guys on the team that you know you have no faith in?
Well,
and was Christian?
That's what I was going to say. You got a third round pick.
I saw him in training camp. 10. I'm not impressed by no stretch of the imagination.
I thought he was okay Sunday. He had a handful of terrible plays, but the rest was okay. I mean, I guess that's bad.
I'm never going to understand why they don't let the running backs chip. I'll never understand that. Because we chip inside and outside, but they don't like doing it. And I talked with David about this like last year, I think. He said, we just don't think it's something that we want to do.
Because it beats the running back too much?
The running back will help the damn tackle.
No, I know that. He doesn't want to do it because he's worried about wear and tear.
He just didn't want to do it.
Just doesn't want to do it.
Just you being there scares the defensive end.
There was one time, and here's and we talked about this the other day too, you and I, that the problem with Christian was he wasn't getting beat on the edge every single time. Sometimes it was getting beat to the inside too. There was one time when I went back and watched where it looked like Peterson tried to give the guy an elbow as he ran past. But I think that's probably a vet move by Peterson.
That's a vet, yeah.
That's what B-Mitch does to us all the time here in the studio.
He chips me quite often.
That's why I just stay in Ashburn.
I chip all the little guys. I don't touch Mitch.
Yeah, I just try.
And you see this on other teams where it's when the tight end is going out before releasing, Like this happened to Kerrigan a couple times the other day.
Yeah.
Before the tight end's going out, he's chipping. He's pushing Kerrigan, not just chipping him, pushing him, getting, you know. And so, like, you can do things like that. I think the problem is that he's a third-round pick who's where he's at. I mean, right. He's not playing like he was a third-round pick.
Morgan, you wouldn't have Moses, to sign you wouldn't have to sign Howard if you thought Christian could go. You know what I mean?
Correct. Like, Morgan Moses was a third-round pick who progressed, and he struggled a little bit as a rookie, but mm-hmm. he progressed by this point. And, you know, that it's just I think that's a hard one to see. Like, and that kid better make a big jump for them next year, because if they may lose Ty Ensekhe, they'll need him to play next year as a third tackle.
Yep, Jerron Christian and Troy Apke, third and fourth rounders, total misses year one.
All right, let's. We're gonna get bogged down.
I hate seeing people number 30 that just don't play well.
The draft is a long. We all know the draft's a long. Draft is a long range
definitely.
Thing. So maybe they develop. I'm not gonna say a kid can't, but right now they need someone who can help them, and he's not in that position to give them what they need.
All right, let's do this. Does anybody think? I don't think Jay officially ruled out Trent. Is that correct?
Trent who?
Williams.
Trent's out.
I know he's out. I was going to say, does anybody actually think he's playing?
No.
I don't think he's playing.
Okay. We all.
And the reason is because, I mean, they won't let him, but I think Trent would try.
He would wrap it up in a club.
He'll try. I don't think he would try yet, dude. Having talked with him, this isn't something he would try to push through yet. I think right. Dallas is where he might.
And I think when he comes back, it's still going to be an issue because he's not going to know what he can grab and pull.
Right.
Correct.
All right. No Trent. This is where things, I think, really will hinge. And we'll go around the room. We'll start with Pete. Morgan Moses, you think he's playing this week?
It seems like the closer we get to the game, the more dicey it becomes. I think he does, though, because he's just like every other one on this offensive line. He's gutty enough to try through it. But who knows if he's going to be able to make it through the entire game. This could be a thing where they test it and he just gets tripped up early and they have to go Austin Howard or something.
Mitchell.
I was going to say, I think he's active, but I think he's an emergency tackle.
Because they had that in Seattle where Sheriff and someone else was active mm-hmm. but didn't
I think
play.
He's active. I think we see Austin Howard start.
So, then when we get to guess the inactives later, that's going to be very interesting. B. Mitch?
I don't think he plays. And okay. I think just because the same way most fans around have been looking, they're looking at Tampa Bay. And they think that we can beat them without him. And we have a lot more going forward, so we don't want to get him banged up so much in this game where he can't play going forward because there's a lot more serious games coming
there's
up.
There's a lot of football left. Kyle.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, when we watched him coming out of the building, walking down the practice field yesterday,
yeah.
There's no way anybody thought, he's going to be okay by Sunday. Because, you know, he's got that bulky brace, wasn't walking that great. The fact that he was able to participate some today was a good sign. But I'm definitely, I can always see anything. I'm going to say no, but, you know, we'll know more on Friday.
I'm with you. So that is, I'm saying no. We got four no's and a kind of from Pete.
Mitch is like a yes, but no.
He's saying emergency.
Pete said yes.
I don't think he's playing unless necessary.
Right. Okay. All right. So that leads me to, this is what I think your O-line is.
Ugh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Beamish can't even speak. Ty Ensekhe.
Sit down, Beamish. You might want to sit down for
and
this.
I need some help with the first names. I'm not going to lie to you.
John Cooper.
Cooper. All right. Chase Rouye. Tony Bergstrom.
Austin.
Tony Howard. Austin Howard.
Tony Howard.
Ty Ensekhe. John Cooper. Chase Rouye. Tony Bergstrom. Austin Howard.
Looks kind of like last year.
Dude, it kind of is. But Alex isn't going to play up that he met everybody in the locker room right before
but that. But that right there to me. When you had that same problem last year and you did not approach and attack that position and you're dealing with the same situation again this year, they got to figure out something.
But last year wasn't as bad because their guy they signed off the street was Ari Quanjo, who had been in
that's
the
what
system,
I was going to say.
And he knew that he knows the Redskins offense. So he wasn't starting from scratch and doing a walkthrough on a Wednesday.
Right. Yeah. This is two totally new guys.
In fairness, Bowenko is a Capitals fan, so
that's a kid from went to Centerville. Right?
Yeah. Is that where your girls went?
Centerville. No, we went Westville. We beat them.
I think the hard part, and to be Mitch's point, like the D line has certainly been bolstered by what they did. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And it's always hard to fix everything in one off season. But like even people who are close to Laval would tell you last off season. He can still play. He can still help you. but you better have a good alternative behind him because he will get hurt. And I think that's where the failure is. And then, again, if Howard is starting instead of Jerron Christian, that's your third-round
pick. Right.
Hold on real quick. It is a problem, but you also got to remember that you came into the year with he was your fourth tackle, right?
Yeah, but he's...
Who?
Yes. But if
Jerron Christian was your number four tackle.
You still got to be able to play.
Tackle that was not coming off of off-season surgery.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, no,
you think about that.
But it's not so much as your fourth. If they don't start him, he was their third-round pick, and they're playing a guy off the street ahead of him. That's not a good sign. No. And again, it doesn't, maybe in the future he'll be better. But I just think that's like...
Don't ask Trevor Maddich about him.
Trevor
thinks he's a stick.
Let's do this. So I wrote about this in damn July. I wrote about it earlier week. There's no bell in here. At certain spots, the Redskins were between being confident and being arrogant. And for me, the interior offensive line, the refusal to address that position was just arrogance. Said, hey, we like our guys and we're going to be good. So where are you at on that? On the confidence to arrogance scale, B. Mitch?
I think it's a combination of both. I think they felt that last year all of our guys got hurt. It won't happen again
this
year.
But you still should have added a veteran inside.
The arrogance came from the fact that, look, we know better more than all y'all know.
Pedro?
Yeah. I mean, you can be confident in Sean Laval, but you shouldn't be confident that he can last 16 games. Get somebody behind him.
I don't think counting on Sean Laval was the problem. I think the problem was not backing him up. Mitchell?
Correct.
Agreed. Not backing him up.
And maybe they thought Bergstrom was the backup.
And maybe they thought Casey Dunn was the right. That would turn into a reasonable backup. But at some point, the arrogance to me is not coming out of camp necessarily without addressing it. But once you knew that these guys, that Casey Dunn wasn't playable and Jerron Christian wasn't playable, that you didn't address it at that point and bring in somebody who could be ready when this happened.
And this
Laval got hurt the first time.
Yeah.
And was gone for a minute. You should have started addressing that at that moment.
Right.
This is being exacerbated a little bit because Sheriff went down at the exact same game, so it's really glaring.
Totally.
But still, you shouldn't have had Laval be your first and Quandre be your second.
Exacerbated. Ooh.
Okay. Bergstrom hasn't necessarily stood out as being a good backup either.
Yeah.
All right, quickly, want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Bob Biaggi is my guy. He set me up in a dope GMC Acadia that I don't get to drive. It's my wife's car. She's made that very clear. She sent me a picture of the XM program. She's now programmed all the XM stations.
Once her presets are in there, it's over.
Dude, you know what the presets are? Christmas music, Hallmark, 90s on 9, which Pete probably listens
to.
Just
deal with it.
And then kids bop.
I rock with 90s on 9.
Pete, you got Kids Bop on your thing, too.
I have Kids Bop 1 through 6. It's just the same one. I like to press the buttons, though.
So seriously, there's no bigger endorsement of something than actually going and doing it. I went and bought a car there. You guys should, too. Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. It's right there in Alexandria. It's right off the Beltway. Couldn't be easier to get to. And they're nice. They gave me a slice of pizza while I was there. How about
what?
That? How about should've that?
And some
that.
Candy for your daughter.
Yeah. Should have passed
and
by
balloons.
That.
Nah, dude, I'm doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here to call me I'm fat again? I'm doing all right,
really.
Dude.
Are you just going to stand here the whole time? I thought you were leaving at some point.
I think he's having fun.
I think I can talk as long as I want. You need to shut up because you're too close to me. I might punch you in the face.
My guy.
Yes. Let's go. This is what we've been missing from the pod.
Such a confined area in here, too. There's no escape.
It's like a very small room.
I was happy to see you sit in the corner.
Uh-huh. All right.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This is a wacky bit. It's time for Guess the Inactives, brought to you by Rich Tandler's Closet. It's going to be funky, right? Like, things are going to look weird guessing the inactives.
I mean, is it five?
Seven.
Seven? I got two.
All right, let's go.
All right, I'm going to go Trent, Chris, Morgan. It's going to be Quick.
A running back. P. Ryan.
Caleb Brantley.
No,
P. Ryan played.
No, P. Ryan's got to play. Thompson's not.
Yeah, he does have to play.
Yeah.
Is
Well, especially Stacey McGee's up now.
He's playing.
Settle?
Crowder.
Settle, Crowder.
No, it's not Settle, dude. It'll be Brantley.
Caleb Brantley.
Beavich is bad at this game.
I keep forgetting it. All right,
Kyle, you go.
I don't think Crowder's playing for sure.
I agree.
Well, we have, let's see, Crowder, I'd say, you know, say Quick, Brantley.
I forgot he was on the team.
I think a corner, dude. We haven't even talked about the Quentin Dunbar situation
yet. It could be Dunbar.
Adonis Dunbar, probably, you know.
It's one of Adonis.
I forgot Brantley was on the roster.
he is.
They brought him in. Oh, he's going to be great, and then he never plays.
So, all right, let's do this. Thompson, Trent, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Crowder.
Moses.
I don't know. I think it might be Christian, dude. I think if Moses is your emergency tackle, then Christian is your inactive.
I think they go with Christian because they don't want Moses to get in the game.
All right. I mean, that's one of those we don't know.
That's fine.
I think Caleb Brantley.
Brian Quick.
And then Adonis, depending on Dunbar,
Right. It's either Adonis or Dunbar.
Do you keep both Bowonko and Dunn active?
One of those
is inactive.
Yeah.
You can't have two tackles and two guards both active. Backup tackles and guards
they
active.
They might need them.
Well, and you'd probably have to have Dunn, right? Because in case something happens to Rouye,
Bergstrom could slide over.
Bergstrom can go over there, but I guess.
It's not a good situation, but I mean.
No, but he at least, it may be that you want that.
Gruden is starting to look like he's bitten into something sour.
He looks tired.
Is it fair to say that they're more confident in playing a supplemental pick at corner and a seventh rounder and an undrafted rookie than they are their third round pick at tackle?
Yes.
That doesn't look great.
I don't know if they're more comfortable. I think they have no choice.
Well, they aren't going out and signing guys knowing that their corners are hurt.
Let's say this. Usually week after week, we can nail the inactives. And if we're off by one, it's because somebody tweaked something. I mean, usually we know six of them off the top of our head, right?
Yeah.
I think it shows the injury situation this week. And there's no clarity in the Dunbar situation, the Moses situation. You know what I mean? Like, it's particularly murky.
Yeah, is it a nerve or is it a hamstring?
They keep saying both. Nerve.
See, they keep saying nerve, but he mentioned a Julie hamstring.
He mentioned a hamstring.
But they keep saying nerve.
But it's a nerve in the hamstring.
A nerve in the hamstring, he said.
But they said it happened when he got kicked. So he got kicked in the hamstring? Kicked him in the butt?
So he got kicked in the shin, and the nerve is in the hamstring.
Is your shin bone connected to your hamstring?
Go ahead, Kyle.
All I know is my shoulder hurts, so whatever.
Dude,
we need more loopy Kime.
We haven't talked about...
Is Kime going to be active on Sunday?
The text thread from last weekend, John.
What's that?
The text thread from last week was just one of the most legendary things I've ever been a part of. And it's private, but wow, that was incredible.
I would just say I can give people a taste of it with... Just think of a kite flying really high.
And for whatever reason, you wanted to tell all your buddies about it.
That kite has a cell phone and wants to text his friends about it.
Yes.
I'm going to say, for guest the inactives...
We don't have an official guest.
I mean, I think our list is nine deep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great job, everybody.
Well done.
That was a good segment.
This is rousing.
All right, let's just go
Didn't
to
they have a game unders. Last year where they didn't have actually 46-46?
Yeah,
they
have
a Seahawks game.
It may be the same way.
All right, over-unders. You know how we do it. I am on fire. Mitch is not. Kime has been losing.
Have I really?
I'm just trying to make you feel better, JP. I know you've had a rough couple days.
I'm just trying to help you feel better, Mitchell. I don't believe you, but I appreciate it. So we always do Alex Smith, and we always do Adrian Peterson. Let's start with Alex. Pass yards. The Bucs get shredded through the air. So let's start there. Alex Smith is coming off his first 300-yard game with the Redskins last week. Pete's making that noise.
That was one of those.
Don't do that again.
A lot of stuff late in the game.
Not late, second half.
I don't think all of it was junk. I think
a lot of it was junk.
A lot of it was junk. But I do think there was some good to be taken from Alex.
But over-unders, they don't care if it's junk or not.
Right.
There was about 103 yards of junk, which means he would have thrown for 198, and I would have been correct.
Well, you weren't. What's the number, B-Mitch? What's the number for you?
Yeah.
Over-under?
Yeah.
What's over-under?
That's what we're asking. We're trying to set it.
Since he had his first 300, and y'all so happy about him, put it at 275.
That's juicy.
That's a big number.
I was thinking.
And I'm going under.
Well, that's why we got to set it lower.
Got to go down a little bit.
500, and I'm going under.
250.
I was thinking like 240.
I think that would be a lot more challenging to answer, I think.
244.
244? No way.
Yeah, no, 240, not 244.
If it's not 240, if it's over 243, I'm not playing.
How about 239?
I'm not playing.
244 is okay.
Yeah. 239 is a good number. Let's go.
Is anybody going to write this down? Pete?
Sure.
You're texting your, I don't know what you're doing over there, but
you're
it ain't.
Texting your wife.
Texting his boyfriend.
What are you doing, Pete?
All right, I'm keeping track of over-unders here.
No, what are you doing?
Just hanging.
Tell us what you're doing, Emo
I'm
Pete.
I'm going on the Slack. I'm checking.
Are we turning Emo Pete?
What are you doing?
He has something else. Yeah, he did. He changed it.
All right, what's the number?
Pete's probably bragging to some girl that he's like, yo, I'm doing the pod right now. I'm 3 feet
yeah,
from B-Mitch.
I'm telling her that I'm with John Kime, and she's like, oh, wow, John Kime? No, of course not.
Wait, are you just jabbing on Kime because he's not here?
Yeah.
Yo, oh, boy.
Live up.
There's
okay.
A fight. There's
B-Mitch
a fight breaking out.
He's looking for his phone.
He's actually tweeting or either Facebooking.
No, I'm not.
Millennials don't Facebook.
Well, tweet.
If Pete is taking jabs at me, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. He knows you got a weak shoulder, Kyle.
Right,
he knows
you got a broken wing.
All right. What was the number? Sorry.
239.
All righty.
239 over under for Alex Smith pass yards. All right. Adrian Peterson, this is a tricky one to set. John, you start and give us your logic.
I think it's got to go, what, probably 75, 80?
You think it's that high with this O-line?
Well, I think that's why I say 75, because Tampa's run defense, they're kind of like middle of the pack, but when you go inside the numbers, they're like, the Redskins love to run on first down. Tampa's really bad defending first down run. So they're going to try and run the ball, I think, a decent amount in that, you know, as you would expect. So, but I think the way the line is, it could be a 25 for 75
right.
type game. So that's why, like, if the line is healthy, well, you're going to go 90 yards, but it's not.
Mitch, what say you?
I got 66 as a number.
Well, we either know he's going to get 14 or 96.
Right,
so.
That's the trouble. There hasn't been a lot
we
of
we can set the number at 24,
right,
and it's the same thing.
Exactly.
So 66 is the number you're sitting at, or 75?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Which number do you think?
I'm thinking about 70.
69.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, let's.
Why y'all like that number?
It's just a good name. We figured all the averages and we computed and it came
stuttering.
Out to be. Yeah,
it was my buddy Jamie Gillespie's number in high school
stuttering.
Football. All right, let's put our bets in before we go to the wild card. Kime, over
wild card.
Over under 239 for Alex. And I'm writing this down.
Oh my God.
Dude, don't
Why
be so stressed
so
out.
It should not be so hard, but it is.
It is because they've given up more than 400 yards of offense in every game but one. And so you would think that it's going to be over. And I think here's the problem. If the run game is going to be that hard, they're going to have to get over. And if it's, you know, if they want a chance to win, or it's going to be more garbage yards. So I think I'm going to go over in this case.
B. Mitch.
Over.
Pete.
I like how succinct you are, B. Mitch.
I'm
going to go under because if they win, I think they get short fields because of Fitzpatrick, and those short fields mean less yards.
I'm going to go over. I think there's going to be a lot of garbage.
So you say if they win, so they got to win for this to be something that you work with?
It's what Kime always says. He says, well, if they win, they're going to do this. And I always think positively, so I'm going to do it this way.
So this is kind of funny. I'm writing everything down, but for whatever reason, I spaced it funky. So I have everybody's initials and then over under. So it's like J. Cover, B. Mover, P. Hunder. M. Tover. Kind of funny looking, right?
J. Pover?
That's kind of good.
J. Pover.
Yeah, that's good.
Adrian Peterson, 69 rush yards. We will start with you, Mr. Mitchell. Actually, we're not starting with you. I should go in the same order because I have it all written down.
No, don't go in the same
order. Kime, you're up.
No, go reverse order. You go first.
All right, reverse order.
Reverse.
All right, reverse order it is. I'm going under. I think if they're going to win this game, they got to throw the ball.
I hate agreeing with JP with every fiber of my being.
That's sweet. You're my best friend.
However, I'm going to join my best friend and go under.
Pete?
I'm going to go over by 2 yards.
P. Hover. B. Mitch?
I'm going to go under because I can't deal with Pete.
That's one of the best answers. That B. Munder is on the board.
Nice logic, buddy.
Kime, you're up.
I kind of wish I didn't follow that one because that was great, but I'm going to go under as well. And I think for my reasoning is that I think one of the harder things that they're going to have to do is to get that rhythm in the run game with some of these combo blocks or dual blocks, whatever. And I think that's going to be a tougher go there, a grinded out, maybe 65 yards, so under.
It's me versus you all on that one. This could be a big winner.
But the reason I said, though, I'm going to hit you another real reason. I think Tampa's going to move the ball on us.
And they'll be playing catch-up.
And I think they would have to throw the ball more than they. But Jay wants to throw the football. You can see every chance he gets when Alex even be stuttering. I mean, stumbling. Adrian
stutters. Alex stumbles.
When Adrian starts stumbling in the running game, he wants to throw the football. So I think, listen, I believe Fitzpatrick is going to throw the ball, and they're going to, listen, if DJ.
Hold on. That's for how the game unfolds. Just hold on a second.
No, just, go ahead.
All right.
I also, real quick, just to that point, I think that losing Trent.
All of this is for how the game unfolds.
So many segments. No,
losing Trent, losing Morgan would both be huge losses, but the most explosive they've been in the running game is when they've been able to get
Brandon Sheriff
out in the open, and not having that's going to hurt them a lot.
So I like these names. That one, we have J. Punder, M. Thunder, P. Hover, B. Munder, and J. Cunder.
Fun.
I'll stop saying that. Clearly, I think it's funny and nobody else does. All right.
All right, it's funny. All right. We can take that so many directions.
All right. Wild card over-unders. These come in via my Twitter at JPFinleyNBCS. You should follow me. Our boy Jackson says, over-under, five dumb penalties by confused offensive linemen. Our boy Resch says, Harvard mentions for Fitzpatrick, 4.5.
I'll take more.
Yeah. A lot
4.5.
A lot of people are asking about Mo Harris receptions, which is cool. Our boy Chris Bryant, Kevin Woods, B. Mitchell like this, at Kevin Woods 7 says, Eli Manning faces by Jay Gruden on the sideline, over under 4.
Probably be 25.
By halftime.
I got to be honest. I like the penalties by the O-line. That's a good one.
That's a high number, though.
At the Dr. 08 says, holding penalties by the new line, 4.5. Daryl O'Connor, this is no chance.
They had that with the O-line.
Right.
Hey, that with Morgan Moses last week almost.
We got one with DeSean Jackson over 40-plus yard plays over under 0.5.
Ooh.
I like that. I'd like to do a DeSean. Keep track of that. Our boy at Redskins Recon says, over under beers consumed the night the Skins win the Super Bowl. All?
I'm going to go all 0.
Because it's just going to be all Tito's?
Well, because it won't happen.
I believe it's going to happen this year. You talking about this year?
No, I don't know what that
is. If you're talking about whenever, it's going to be a lot. Question.
How many beers do you think you would put down in a Super Bowl winning situation?
If they win a Super Bowl, I'm not drinking beer.
Well, dude, I'd be in the locker room.
Right, I'm saying after that's
JP
all done.
JP and I would be working and blocking very hard for days that's to all come. Done.
You would be. Don't they have beer in the locker room?
They have champagne.
Well, I'd be crushing champagne. You don't think those dudes would be pouring champagne on all of us?
And Louis.
You actually
and Pappy
been
Van
in this
Winkle.
Situation. All right, Pappy and
Burnett.
If you find me some Pappy, I'm in.
My boy Will Siegel's supposed to hook me
if
with
If they
Pappy.
Win the Super Bowl, Pete's buying Pappy.
All right, hold on, let's get to the... Pete doesn't even know what Pappy is. Do you know what Pappy is?
Is it like Svedka?
He can find out.
Jeez. my boy Foley, Peyton Barber, over under 55 yards rushing. No good. I say we do DeSean. Our boy Tom Jackman, who's a reporter for the Washington Post, says 41.5 for Adrian Peterson rush yards. I think that's too low.
Wow.
Perry Mattern, who works for the Redskins, says Saturday night drinks, 6.5. Kaim, what number are you taking on that?
For me?
Saturday night drink? You can do pick. That during the day Sunday and the game is going on.
I'm still taking vacation, fellas.
Well, then it'll be more fun. We'll get more text messages.
So is it Saturday night between 10 and 11 or
that's
11
short,
and 12?
That's short at least 1-0.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do.
They moved the decimal point over too
let's
far.
Let's do that to Sean.
All right. It's from our boy James Lowe.
It also depends on the drinks. How many thousands of people are there watching?
Yeah. How many tables you can stand on when you do
maybe
it?
Maybe like 7 or 10,000.
At least 7 to 10,000.
Or if we're in a suite at Madison Square Garden, in which case, if it's me, just bang the over.
Yeah.
All the way.
Agreed.
So this over-under is from our boy James Lowe at Lowy 133.
All right, what is
over-under DJX 40-yard plays, 0.5.
I'll take it over.
Beam over. Written down.
Beam over.
Go ahead, Pete.
Over.
Kime?
Over.
We're all banking on DJ.
Yeah, I think we're all hitting the over on this one.
Well,
I'm
just going to be a contrarian then.
You're going to be Jay Punder?
Contrarian,
Jay
huh?
Punder. That's me. All right, we're all in the books. Over-unders are set. That means we got one thing left, and B-Mitch was in a hurry to do it, and he still hasn't sat down.
I'm about to walk out. Only after this one thing.
All right. You
hold me from my drinks. I could do that tonight.
Dude, you kept saying you were going to leave. I think you're having fun.
Dude,
he's having fun.
I do stuff for my boys.
Indeed.
You asked me to come, not Pete. If Pete had asked, I wouldn't have been in here. You and Mitch, I'm doing this.
I offered to get you a chair and you called me an MF.
Y'all had asked. I did call
you a story. He didn't use the acronym either.
I call you a mother's friend, yeah. But if AJ had asked me, I'd probably punch him in his face.
Well, AJ would have forgotten 2 minutes later.
We talked about 30 minutes roughly, and B-Mitch just threatened to punch two people in the face in this podcast.
I wanted to give Pete a dead arm on the way out.
I actually like Pete.
I love Pete.
Because the thing about it, listen, Pete might be a little weird.
There's no might about it.
But he does, whatever he's supposed to do, he does it.
He's endearing.
That other dude, pathetic.
Take that, AJ. All right.
Boom.
This is called How the Game Unfolds. This is brought to you by Rich Taylor's Closet. Or maybe this is Rich
No,
Taylor's.
This is the Lazy Boy, because the Lazy Boy unfolds.
Do they still fire that cannon every time they score?
Yo, and I get shook every time
they
fire.
Have you seen the video of JP?
I saw that.
We need to get that video
Take
going
earplugs.
For this weekend.
Recirculate
it's spectacular.
They don't make earplugs big enough for me. I know where you're going.
No, I'm not. I promise. I'm telling you. You, John, you going?
Yes. No, I'm good.
Take earplugs. Well, you got your stuff on you.
That's not bad.
No, I'm just saying, they're going to be going off a lot.
The Chargers, the one in LA for the Chargers was way worse.
This is how, tell us what's
going to
happen.
I really believe that they're going to come out doing a lot of what Atlanta did because it looked so good. And this is the thing. Kendrick Golston was talking to Doc today. He said he don't know if they're taught this, but this is what defensive linemen are taught. Every time they're doubled, they drop to a knee. And when they drop to their knees, they leave holes. Those linebackers, I don't know. Zach was not filling any gaps. He was getting stuck behind the double team. They're going to try that on him. They say what Atlanta did was try to make their runs look like passes and their passes look like runs. So they were doubling them on a passing play, making them think, and they just dropped. So it's no pass rush and big gaps. And they were throwing, and then they were just coming through when they run the ball on them. I think they're going to move the football on us. They are not a bad offense.
Sure.
They're terrible defense. But they're going to move the football, and I think that is where we become one-dimensional. Because we, as an offense, we get troubled, and we just forget about the run. Even if they score one touchdown first, we're going to start throwing it.
And they've lost every game they get down.
True. Yes.
The Redskins, you got this as a loss, it sounds.
I think if the Redskins don't come out different than what they've been on offense, yes, it's going to be a loss.
Pete.
The Redskins have played two NFC South teams with great offenses, very bad secondaries, bad defenses, and they've lost both those by 24. This weekend is a similar thing. It's just not the right matchup. I don't care
that
the
Panthers, Pete.
I know, but the Saints and
he's
the
talking
Falcons.
About the very, very good offense, explosive.
The Panthers are good, dude.
They weren't explosive offensively.
They aren't explosive offensively.
They're a battering ram. They try to beat the hell out
right.
of you.
Right. This is just not a good
that
matchup.
That plays
for them.
Into the hands of the Redskins defense. Yeah. When you try to batter them, that plays. But when you start saying, spread out, and I want you to cover. Our linebackers, I love them, but they can't cover.
Yeah. It's just not the right matchup, and I don't
and
see
OJ
how.
And O.J. Howard scares me.
Yo, that's exactly what I was going to say. I thought that linebackers struggle covering tight ends, and O.J. Howard is a glorified receiver at tight end. I think he's going to have a big day.
For the record with the Panthers, they've gone over 30 four times this year, and they've gone 36-42 their last two games. I think people sleep on the
they
Panthers.
They got better after the Redskins.
They put 21 in the fourth quarter on the Eagles.
People sleep on the Panthers win.
Did you guys see the picture?
You're saying they lose and they get blown out roughly?
Not blown out, but it's between the offensive line issues and the matchup with the Bucs offense, it's not going to be pretty.
Mitch.
Did you guys see the picture of Ryan Fitzpatrick today at practice?
Yeah, he wore aviators
just dripping
under his helmet.
Dripping in swag with aviators underneath his helmet?
Yes.
Oh, geez, that guy loves
bits. He loves bits. I think he's going to have a big day. And I think we're going to see, like I just said before, O.J. Howard's going to have a big day, and he's going to get
He's played five games. He started five games.
He's going to totally botch the waiver wire pickup on O.J.
He has eight touchdowns more than our quarterback who's played every game.
He also has a lot more picks.
He has seven.
Yeah. He has one game.
I think
four in one game.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think O.J. Howard's going to spread out the Redskins' defense. They're going to struggle. I'm going 27-26 Bucks.
Damn, that close.
26.
Yeah. What?
I think they're putting up 26.
Okay. Kime.
If they put up 26, I think they're going to win.
Yeah, I do too.
Not so if the Bucks score 27.
Well, there you go.
Or 38.
I think if they're doing that, they're doing a lot of things well, and I think probably getting turnovers as well off of that. This is, to me, the hardest game to pick because I think the Bucks aren't very good. And, you know, while there's, it's either Fitzpatrick or Fitzmagic or Fitztragic. And, you know, like he started off really well this year throwing on first downs, for example. He's been terrible the last four games that he had played in that down. So you really, you just, for we don't know what to expect with Washington. There's no way we can know what to expect from Tampa either. Their defense is, you know, this is not New Orleans. This is not Atlanta. It's different level bad as far as missed tackles. Yards after contact in the run game, they're bad. And that sets up well for a guy like Adrian Peterson. So, you know, I came into this thinking there's no way the Redskins are going to win. And the reason I change is because this team seems to somehow respond in these situations. Last year at Seattle, it's a different matchup. Seattle was not as explosive as this, and that's part of the problem. I think, B. Mitch, you're right about my fear with them is how much they look at what Atlanta did. It was the play action that Atlanta used that I think really hurt Washington and gave Matt Ryan a lot of time. If they give that same kind of time to Fitzpatrick, they lose. And I think, you know, because it was also like, and I thought Zach Brown played one of his worst games as a Redskin.
True.
And I don't think that they would disagree with that. And, you know, and the problem that I had is, like, if you look at the run game Atlanta used, a lot of duo, but they were running a counter step with the duo, which consistently fooled them. And that was a problem. So if they, you know, if they copy that. But I think conversely, you know, if you're Jay Gruden, you're going to have, if you're a Fitzgibbon, you got to put some faith in there. They're going to come up with something to help protect Smith. I think you have to use more play action for them and, you know, create some situations where Smith can have a cleaner pocket, you know, and
simplify
play
things
off
for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if they don't, then they get skunked and it, you know, and for some reason I picked them to win by one, 24-23. I really don't know why I did that, but I think it's one of those, this team somehow, this is the kind of game where they seem to somehow win. And that's the only logic that I really have. But I think part of it, again, is I just don't like Tampa's defense. And I think their line can be good, but I don't know that it's like, I thought Atlanta's line was going to be better than people anticipated, and they were.
Right.
So, you know, that's why I'm going that way.
Ryan Fitzpatrick in the last two games against a Carolina defense and a Cincinnati defense, 35 of 55 for
but they also
400 for 430 some yards, six touchdowns, two interceptions.
Right, but they're just airing it out.
And
but that's what they do. That's what they do anyway.
Here's where I'm at.
And
he still comes out of the lineup because he turns the ball over a ton and they fall behind a lot. And so, you know, I think there's some of those yards I wonder about. Like last week, they fell. I mean, they come back, but they were down. How much were they down last week when they came back?
Yeah, three touchdowns at least.
Yeah.
DJ Swearinger knows Ryan Fitzpatrick pretty well.
And he's talked about it at length.
He's talked about it from Houston and Tampa as well. So,
B. Mitch, I can see this. I can see another game where it's a 10-14-point loss. I can see that just as easily.
Right.
And I think the only thing is, like I said, my only logic, and it's not logic, it's like for some reason, you know, this team does well in these situations for a game. Now, can they sustain it? I don't think so, but I think you can do well for a game. And I think if you're going to do well for a game, maybe this is a team you do it against. I don't know.
All right, here we go. I'm with Kime. I think they win because I think everybody's going to take the Bucs. I think the NFL is funky. I think you can point to the Seattle game. You can point to the Seattle game last year. I think you can point to the Panthers game this year. I know I keep bringing it up, but they got their ass kicked in New Orleans. They came back. They responded against a good offense, a good team. I think it can happen on the road. I think you have a prideful bunch on defense between DJ, John Allen. Those guys are not going to mess around. And then
I just think that trying to compare Seattle's offense, which was they can't score.
You're absolutely right.
And you couldn't score last year.
And you had your whole offensive line against the Panthers too.
I think they're going to cover.
Agreed. Here's all I'm going to say. A couple numbers.
Let me say this. Seattle's defense was better, and they were able to make plays on them. But you know, they didn't score a ton, but they were able to still make plays on them. Mm-hmm. And
Kirk was
that defense. So. Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about this Tampa offense, and they're really good. They got weapons. We haven't even talked about Mike Evans. His numbers, have you guys looked at this?
Yeah.
He has 47 catches for 786 yards. Mm-hmm. That's more than the Redskins' offense.
14.2 or something like that?
But just hang on with me. As good as Tampa sounds, they've lost 5 of 6. They gave up 79 points in their last two games. They're giving up 34 a game, and they have a minus 15 turnover ratio. All that shit
matters.
Their
defense sucks.
All that stuff matters.
Their defense is not good.
And I think it's possible the Skins can put a couple drives together, put some points on the board.
Ask this question.
How many points do the Redskins have to score to win?
30.
Okay. I ask this question, though. We've played a lot of defenses that were horrible in the secondary this year.
Yeah.
Which one did we attack?
None.
I think they played well against Green Bay. They had four touchdowns in the first half against Green Bay.
I think a big deal here, the big deal here for me, the reason why I started thinking, well, maybe, is how bad Tampa is defending first down runs. And if this team loves to run on first down, if they typically do well, if you can get that second and seven, second and six, then they're
positive down and distances are good for Alex. All right, we clearly disagree. We got to stop because people
have been talking for an hour and a half.
I know, it's been a while. Here's my last number, right?
It's been about 45 minutes.
The betting is about even, right? When you look at the spread, it's, 50-50. A lot of the money is on the Redskins. That typically means the guys that know stuff out in the desert are taking the points with Washington. I think that will be my last nugget.
It ain't B. Mitch's money.
Well, I'll tell you like this. As I don't care about what the people in the desert do with the points. If they lose this by half a point, they lost. And that's all I'm concerned
sure,
about.
Sure.
And I think that ultimately will change up the whole mindset and dynamics of everybody involved.
All right, time to go. Go ahead, Mitch.
I was just saying, the Redskins opened at -1. They moved all the way across zero. Now they're
because of the injuries.
Yeah. But all the money's still on the Redskins, and they're still moving the line towards the Bucs.
It's funky. If you pay attention to those kinds of things, it's funky.
I heard they're building a new hotel. Y'all be careful betting in Vegas.
Hey, Brian Mitchell, thank you for standing in with us. This was fun.
Yeah, man.
Chime on the phone. Always glad to have you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Pete, you want to give Pete a shot on the way out? I'm good.
Yeah, just punch him, and we got him mic'd up.
So please,
we got
a mic. No. Actually, you want to do a quick punch, and we can have it on
the
pod?
Yes, let's do it.
Like your 50% punch?
Shoulder.
I don't have one of those.
Shoulder.
I don't have one of those.
Didn't think this would happen, but let's go.
I'll do the left hand.
Non-ring. Right hand.
Yeah, let's do
it. I am so scared.
Whenever you're ready.
You want my strength?
I just don't want the ring. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I just spit everywhere. Spit out of my mouth.
50%?
Ow.
I never want to see 100. Thank you, dude. Ow. Thank you.
I think I need shoulder surgery, Kime. Recommend your doctor for me.
All right.
Got some pills.
I need them.
Kime, thank you. B. Mitch, thank you. Thanks. Pete, right, Mitch, thank you, boys. If you made it this far, hey, go buy a car at Oarsman Automotive.
All the listeners out there. Have a great time. Thanks for listening to my boys.
That was fun. Thank you, B. Mitch. All right, Oarsman Automotive, Virginia. We ride with them. You should ride with them. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Kime. We'll see you in Tampa. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.